Hey, it's Tony Bruschi along with Jenny and Carol Hughes, inviting you to come check out our brand new podcast, Office Horror Stories.
You don't get a fart in my presence and just leave it.
When I pick up a cup, I try to take a sip. It's Greg's chew. Like, spit take right into the screen.
Gross. I know. You can't unhear that.
It's a show jam-packed with stories of crazy bosses, insane coworkers, and workplaces from hell.
I'm seriously getting in trouble right now for being a hard worker.
Pick your ear, nose, rub your eye that clearly probably is pink eye. Over here, let me handle those apples for you.
So not only is it gross that you're getting bacteria onto the money, but you're getting bacteria up into something else.
And the best part, you're invited to share your workplace nightmare or office horror story as well. Just search Office Horror Stories wherever you download podcasts, click subscribe, and start binging away now.
You know, I'm single, and then I listen to stories like that, and I'm like, that person found someone.
What? You've been carrying on a not-so-discreet affair with one of the day shift supervisors and had skipped town with her and literally thousands of dollars of client money that had been earmarked for employee incentives.
I wish I had a kid. Because if I had a kid, I could call in sick a lot, I could leave early a lot, and not saying that they were making it up. But yes, I have worked with people who made that shift.
Our brand new podcast, Office Horror Stories. New episodes weekly, available wherever you download podcasts. Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, do ghosts ever attempt to reach out to the living through dreams? Can a ghost deliver a message to the living through a dream? Today we hear true paranormal stories involving dreams.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number, right on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. Or email your audio file to us. Just send it to Tony at realghoststoriesonline.com. And most importantly, if you like the show, you want all the bonus episodes. We have brand new ones we put out every single week. You hear previews of them every week through the regular feed, but you get the full thing, access to nearly 300 of them now. Go to ghostpodcast.com. Or if you prefer Patreon, patreon.com/realghoststories to sign up there. It's only $5 a month. Get access to all of the bonus material. Get yourself a gift. Holidays are done. And you deserve it. Say it in a real mode.
No.
You deserve it.
I'm not doing that.
Oh, come on.
No.
Jenny is here in 2020 and is her same self of, not gonna participate.
Sorry.
In that.
Yep.
Nope. So anyway, check it out, ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories to do all that. Did you pick anything out of the Sharper Image catalog that we were looking at earlier?
No, not for me.
Not an advertisement. I was just looking through the craziness. There's something on here like, it's like ping pong with lasers, so.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't know. A great way to shoot your eye out with a laser. Remember where that was, it was like the laser pens where everyone's really concerned. Did anyone ever know anyone who, I'll say this and I'll get a ton of emails.
Yeah.
Who got blinded by a laser pen?
I don't know that I knew anybody who knew anybody that did.
No. Maybe it's somebody who knew somebody who knew somebody who knew Kevin Bacon who knew somebody that, got lighted by. I would imagine like the laser lights that everybody shoots on the side of their house over the holidays. I would think that would have been a lot of shit. Yeah. Wasn't there warnings of like, don't shoot that into the sky because you're going to take down airplanes or something? Or
yeah, it messes with them.
Does it? Does it really?
I've heard that. I don't feel the need to test it out.
Should we Snopes that one and see if that's
I don't know,
a legitimate concern?
That's up to you.
And just shoot them into the night sky. See what happens. On the flight path that we're on.
Yeah.
It'd be kind of fun. Or not. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's go to our first letter of the day. It says, as soon as I scroll down to it. I'm not sure I would describe this as a ghost story, but what happened was strange. I'm not one who believes in ghosts, as I've always found a logical explanation for any strange occurrence that I've experienced. The story, however, is different. About 20 years ago, I shared a house with my friend and his brother. It was an old house located on the south side of Ottawa, Canada. By all accounts, it seemed like a normal house except the basement. The basement was unfinished and the floor was dirt. One afternoon, my friend and I were bringing some things down to the basement to store them there for the winter. Now, the basement was concrete all around and there were no windows. While we were putting things away, we noticed a raven in the corner of the room. We were a little taken aback. How could a bird get down here? Where did it come from? As we're trying to figure out what we should do about it, we looked at it and it was gone. We finished up and headed back upstairs. A few days later, we went down to see if the bird was still there, but there was no sign of anything at all. A week or two later, I was alone in the house. It was night, and I realized I needed something from the basement. As I walked to the door of the basement, I was thinking about how tomorrow was Canadian Thanksgiving, which is the first Monday in October. And now I had to remember to go to the grocery store to get some things. I opened the door and began to walk down the stairs to the basement. About the sixth step down, I stopped. A feeling of great discomfort came over me, and I could not go any further. The sense that I was unwanted was overpowering. I don't know how long I stood there, unable to move, but I finally turned and headed up the stairs. As I did, I could swear I felt something in my back almost pushing me, as if to hurry me along. Through all this, I continued to feel that sense of being unwanted. I walked through the kitchen and down the hall to the front room. Only then did this feeling go away. Over the next few weeks, I would hear strange footsteps in the hall at night when I was alone in the house. My friend and I returned to the basement several times in search of the raven, but saw nothing. I do not know how to explain what happened, but I thought I would share it with you.
I think when you get that dread feeling and you know that you shouldn't go any further, that is an experience. And a lot of people just ride that off as, oh, I don't know why my mind's thinking this is something.
Mm-hmm.
It's not your mind. There's something there stopping you.
What do you think? Was a raven a sign of some sort?
Maybe. I don't know.
Was a raven even real?
That's a good question.
You think there'd be bird shit everywhere.
Yeah.
If it was real. I mean, just looking at the logical side of this, birds tend to make a mess.
Mm-hmm.
If you have one that's in a confined area, and even if you can't find the damn raven, you'd be like, oh, there's signs of it everywhere.
Yeah.
What was the movie, The Raven? Was that like a Bruce Lee movie?
I don't remember.
The Raven. I'm going to look that up real quick. Because I know, I mean, there's like, ravens are kind of like an ominous thing, I think. Unless I'm completely off. Maybe they're a sign of good luck.
I think they mean different things to different cultures. Honestly, I think that's mixed.
Maybe I'm thinking of The Raven by Edgar Allan Poe.
Mm-hmm.
The Raven movie. There was a movie. Vincent Price was in it in 1963. Of course, I remember that. Remember going to the theater and seeing that one together?
Yeah, no.
Back in 63. In 2012, there was a remake of it. And I don't know. John Cusack was in it.
Okay.
I don't think I ever saw that. But there you go. So, I don't know. Kind of a creepy bird to have in your house.
Yeah.
No one ever says, I have a pet raven. You want to come see it? Feed him. 855-853-4802 is our number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost story with us or raven story. I just wanted to start off by saying I love the podcast and the group of support that you have created for people. It means a lot to us. A few short stories. I wanted to start off with saying I wasn't always sensitive to spiritual things like ghosts and such, but I would have intensely vivid dreams that would last me for weeks on end as a child, which would result in me avoiding things that would trigger them. But as I got older, I started to become naturally interested in the spirit world and the occult and various other things that were out there from a purely academic standpoint. As a result, I opened my mind a bit to them while still being careful not to attract anything that negative would follow. I feel it's completely unavoidable because with good comes bad. It's a part of life. Well, I didn't have any weird or paranormal experiences till I was about 24. I'm 32 now. And the first instance I had was an incredibly vivid dream that I remember to this very day clearly. The dream started off with my family and I renting a house to live in, and quickly things took a turn for the worse. I felt absolute dread and fear as I felt haunted by this long, cloaked, winged creature. It would chase me all throughout the house, and it finally caught me and started to choke me. I woke up quickly after and tried to put it behind me, but the feeling of dread stuck for a while with me. Fast forward to me being 28 and I experienced the exact same dream again, but as I started to wake up, I was caught with may have been sleep paralysis and my eyes fluttering. I saw the figure on top of me with its hands around my neck, and I mentally screamed, "Get the F off me now." As I did this, it lifted off me and faded away into the night, and I haven't seen it since. Fast forward a couple of years and I got my first major adult job out of college. The job required me to move around a lot between floors for the company in order to get things done. I'd take the stairs often, and in order to avoid the wait times of the elevators, one day as I was going through the stairwell like I usually did with headphones in and a podcast playing, I heard a very loud woman's laugh, like she was right off my shoulder. I knew this wasn't from the podcast, as the hosts were male. I took my headphones off and paused the podcast and listened to hear if it was caused by anyone in the stairwell. There was no one else in the stairwell. And my most recent experience was shortly after my mom passed away very suddenly from illness, which she always struggled with. Shortly after, a friend of mine reached out to me to offer her condolences. And as we were talking, she said that sometimes spirits came to her to leave messages, and she had to tell me that Mom wanted me to be aware of a journal that she kept, as she would see me very soon. I didn't say anything to my dad, as he was a very strong religious person. As we were cleaning out her clothing, Dad came to me and said he found something and pulled out this old notebook, which turned out to be the journal that my friend had mentioned. I was stunned and sat down and immediately read it. Shortly after that, Mom came to see me in the form of a visitation dream. As the dream began, I was in an ancient, massive forest where I saw my mom, but she was a younger, healthier version of herself. She hugged me and said that everything was going to be okay, and she had to go, and I couldn't come with her. I asked her when I would see her again, and she said not for a very long time. She hugged me again and moved off into the forest. When I woke up, I immediately felt a sense of calm and peace and a little less loss, knowing she was in a better place. I haven't had any other experiences since, and I don't know why either. Hope you guys have a fantastic week and keep being amazing.
I think that's very interesting that the friend got the message about the journal, and then the journal, you know, they came across it.
Mm-hmm.
And then the death visit, so that's pretty affirming that there is another side.
I'm wondering about the winged-like creature that they were experiencing.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like Mothman.
Yeah, it kind of does.
Are you familiar with Mothman?
Not really, other than what I think I've just learned about it in passing. I haven't really studied it.
Okay. I'm going to play the Jeopardy music, and you can give us your explanation of Mothman.
No, we're not going to do that.
Okay. Mothman, it's a winged-like creature. And there was a movie that came out, like, in the 90s about it, right?
I think so.
I think it was somewhere around there. Anyway, it happened in the 60s. People were seeing this thing around Point Pleasant, West Virginia, on a regular basis. And it was this winged-like creature that was essentially it was very bizarre. It would just launch itself into the sky if somebody saw it or got close to it, and then just kind of disappear.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't like your Bigfoot type thing where you kind of think, oh, maybe this is a creature we just don't know about. It really had very paranormal properties to it. People stopped reporting it after there was a giant bridge collapse out there. And then people were looking at this, connected, accurate or not, as maybe it was an omen of the bridge that was about to collapse. Don't know why the wingman has anything to do with the bridge, but the sightings seem to stop.
Hmm.
However, now, all these years later, there has been a massive amount of sightings around Lake Michigan.
Okay.
And I just had someone on the Grave Talks, or as of right now, the interview will be airing soon. If you're a grave keeper over there, you'll be getting it soon, too. We're talking about that because there's been sightings all over from Wisconsin to Michigan to Illinois. All if you're touching the, you know, mm-hmm. Lake Michigan, there's been these sightings. Even in about, I believe, Minnesota, I believe, there's been some sightings too. It's been no like massive tragedy or anything, but it makes you kind of wonder if it is another sort of thing that is an omen. And like I said, it's kind of loose that it does connect to the bridge collapse. That just seems to be the only strange catalyst where those events stopped. Mm-hmm. But there's been sightings all over. Since 2017, there's been a lot of sightings up there.
How long ago did the West Virginia sightings happen?
66 or 67.
Okay.
I believe. Is around them. In 67, the Silver Bridge collapsed. 46 people died.
Okay.
And then they connected that to the Mothman. And yeah. 02 was the Mothman Prophecies, and it's loosely based on the 1975 book about Mothman. So, I don't know.
That's weird.
I'd be curious as to the writer of that letter when they had the winged man experience. Maybe it's Mothman, maybe it's not. I mean, it sounds kind of demonish or whatnot, but it just made me think of Mothman. It was an interesting interview with a gentleman named Tobias. Anyway, that's on the Grave Talks. Make sure you subscribe to that podcast too if you want to hear more about that. He has a whole book he just put out about it, about the Lake Michigan Mothman. Mm-hmm. And what's going on with that, because those reports are coming in to this day.
Now, are they like further into the state, or are they just directly on the shoreline-ish areas?
All over.
Okay.
It's not just the shoreline. It's all over. I mean, inland as far as, I believe there was one in Minnesota as well. Mm-hmm. But Lake Michigan obviously doesn't touch Minnesota. Lake Superior does in some ways, but a majority seem to connect around the Lake Michigan area. So, I don't know. Maybe it has something to do with the Edmund Fitzgerald. You no. coughed right there because that was an excuse to make me not sing.
No, that was just me trying to laugh and then coughing.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
When Jenny coughs right now, she's really laughing. Is that?
A lot of the time, yeah. Because
really?
I laugh a lot. And then when I get to laughing, I have to cough.
Well, we won't do any more jokes. We'll be very sterile.
Okay, fine.
The rest. 855-853-4802.
It'll be fine.
Is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online? We'd be very appreciative if you'd call and share a story of ghosts with us. That's just going to be funny in itself. Let's go to a caller. Hi, let's hear your ghost story.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. My name is John. I'm calling from California. I've been a long time listener of the show. I've never called in. It's my first time. Just been listening to a few shows recently that seem to include demonic entities, shadow people, stuff of that nature. And so I was compelled to call in and tell my story of how my family has gone through similar things over the years. My siblings and I grew up as latchkey kids. We would come home from school by ourselves, cooked for ourselves, got ourselves ready because our parents were hardly at home. They both worked several jobs and for the most part had opposite work schedules from each other. So around high school, around like 98, 99, my parents had opened up a business which pretty much required their attention full time. So they were, you know, again, always gone. There's no one home besides us kids. So naturally, like a bunch of high school kids would do, we had a bunch of friends over almost every night. We'd stay up joking around till really late. It stayed like this during most of the summer that year in between break and the start of the school year. One day, I stumbled onto a VHS cassette at this garage sale that was up the street from us of a movie called The Entity. I'm not sure if anyone is familiar with that movie, but it's about a woman played by Barbara Hershey, who's a single mom that gets attacked and raped by some unseen entity. She goes to a psychiatrist and reveals he attacks him, but he's convinced, the psychiatrist is convinced that it's self-inflicted. The movie goes on, she tells her story to a group of people interested in paranormal activity, and they move into her house and witness the attacks firsthand. The movie was made back in like the 80s. I forgot when exactly in the 80s, where this the time, you know, where studios had to manipulate the setting in order to get an effect that they wanted. So very different from, you know, CGI and special effects stuff they have in movies now. Kind of like turning the temp in the room down real low so you can see your breath fog out whenever you breathe. I guess mimicking a spirit or entity in the room. So it's much more raw and much more natural. So we're sitting in our living room, me and my friends, watching this movie with maybe 10 or more of us all together. And, you know, we're all freaked out, screaming at every loud, kind of unsuspecting noise the movie made, trying to see if there was a shadow or something behind one of the actors. It became a common theme at that point to just watch a whole bunch of scary movies with each other, you know, night after night. So, I mean, we watched everything from The Exorcist to The Omen, Rosemary's Baby, anything that was creepy. It was on just, you know, back to back to back. One night, we started telling scary stories to each other, and the subject of the Ouija board came up. I knew that they sold in the stores, but I never bought one. I'd seen one made, though, through a TV show with basically cardboard and a shot glass, so I came up with this crazy-ass idea of making one, and of course everyone was all for it. I had a magic marker, did the whole alphabet, numbers, the yes and no, the hello and goodbye. Kind of getting chills just thinking about this, but when it was done, we all gathered around the table and tried it, turned a shot cup upside down and placed it on the cardboard. It didn't work at first, but after a few seconds, it started moving. A lot of my friends were joking around that one of us was moving it, but I can tell that no one was. We asked whoever we were speaking to questions about past family members, things that were going on currently, stuff about our personal lives. We even asked the questions about itself, who it was, how old they were, when they passed, when they were with us. Everything seemed very innocent. It definitely made for conversation, and honestly, at the time, seemed like a lot of fun. A majority of us, though, stopped playing with it around maybe 11 or so that night, and I fell asleep on the couch in the living room. I woke up around almost 4 in the morning and saw my best friend alone still playing with it by himself. His eyes were super wide, and he had told me that he couldn't go to sleep and that he had been on it since earlier that evening. He was convinced that he was talking to his father that had passed. And so when I asked him how he knew, he mentioned that the board was telling him things, like little things that only he and his father would know, little intimate details that he had never told anyone. I didn't think anything of it. Again, not knowing much about the Ouija board in general at that time, I allowed him to continue, and I went back to sleep. But I remember I remember being a little happy that he was excited at the thought of speaking with his father. The next morning we all woke up. My friend was still asleep on the floor, and the shot cup wasn't face down on the board. In fact, it was up on the table, and the board was on the floor as if it had been thrown. We left for the day again, maybe 7 to 10 of us, and returned back to the house later that night around 11 p.m. or so. I cleaned up around the house since we all made a mess the night before and walked towards the backyard to throw the trash away. The board I had made was also in the trash. Remember, this is at 11 in the evening. It was already dark outside. Our dog would normally come and greet me, but for some reason she stayed in one spot, almost hiding around the corner, but still kept her eye on me. So I threw the trash away and walked back into the house. I remember it looking a little foggy, almost like when I walked into the house, almost it looking a little foggy, almost how you would see things from foggy glasses. So I took my glasses off to wipe them, and at that moment, my sister, who was in her room upstairs, came running down screaming from the top of her lungs. Her face was completely white, and you heard very obvious heavy footsteps as if something were running after her. The steps were so loud that it overtook the volume of the TV, which was on. I remember panicking, asking her, you know, what was wrong, and she couldn't talk at first. And then finally was able to mouth out that something had tapped her and then ran after her like this warming, heavy, suffocating feeling. Everyone in the house was just completely silent. They just kind of all looked at each other like in total shock, and not a moment sooner, the shot cup that we had been playing on the board with was thrown across the room and shattered against the wall and on the floor, and the lights in the house started flickering. I kid you not, we literally saw this cup lift up in the air and just thrown with like this meaningfully evil force. Every single one of us started yelling and came together huddled in the den. The lights were still flickering and they turned on super bright. I remember all of us looking at each other like, what the fuck? Scared out of our minds thinking, shit, what the hell just happened? And kind of looking at each other for affirmation that, you know, yes, this is all real. We all saw this. All of a sudden, the TV went mute, and my friend who was alone with the Ouija board, playing with the Ouija board the night before, ended up walking backwards with this look of, like, absolute horror on his face. Just walking backwards as if someone, or as if he was trying to avoid something coming at him. He started crying and then mumbling, why are you doing this? I believe in Jesus. Please, no. He would be loud and then whisper, loud and then whisper, then in a matter of seconds, just stopped. He just stood there straight-faced, no expression at all. We tried snapping him out of it, shaking him, yelling his name. The girls in the house were hysteric. They were yelling, screaming, crying. It was hard to hear anything because everyone was freaking out. Then he spoke this weird language while he was looking down, but slowly lifted his head up with this real evil, evil smile that I'll never, ever forget. At that point, the TV volume turned back on. The lights again started flickering. We all ran outside and, you know, we pushed my friend out with us. While we were out there, I tried yelling at whoever was in him to leave us alone. You know, please don't hurt us. And I remember saying a few prayers, and he stood there again with a smile that just would send chills to your bones. I remember shaking him again and yelling, then taking a garden hose we had outside in the front yard and spraying him with it. Once the water hit him, he breathed out as if he was like underwater for a few minutes trying to catch his breath. And the moment he did this, the dogs in our neighborhood all started barking, howling, even ours. It was the most bizarre thing to hear. He seemed like he came to his senses but didn't remember a thing that happened. We all tried explaining it to him, but he just stood there kind of puzzled, that he felt weak and drained. That night, we all slept in our cars outside in the driveway. We didn't go back into the house until the morning. Some of us couldn't even fall asleep. But, I mean, this happened over, you know, the rest of the summer. We all stayed together in the house, but, you know, we were definitely terrorized by something. There were a lot of sleepless nights and many, many more stories I can share. Things still happen randomly and frequently, and it's something that we all haven't really gotten over. The house itself was never the same. Even though the activity over the years have declined, there's always this unwelcoming shadow that kind of lingers. It's always been like that since it's happened. Everyone that was there to witness those events that summer, they've all been affected in some way, shape, or form, even up to this day. I've never suffered from this before, but I've had, you know, panic attacks, went through bouts of depression. My best friend, the one that was directly targeted by what I think was a demon, he drinks super heavily now. He's always going through depression. My siblings have had night terrors, depression, so have a few of my friends. What was once a really, really close unit, there's been a lot of falling out of the friendships with several people that were there. My mother and father, you know, have separated. And I really do think that this is all, you know, because of the house. My dad started acting really, really strange and weird, and, you know, now they're no longer together. I do believe this is all in works of a demonic manifestation in some way, shape, or form that caused all this. A few months after the initial incident, I was suffering from, like, weird bouts of fatigue that would scare me when driving, so we went to an abuelo, or what we would call a witch doctor in the Philippine culture. We mentioned to her why we think all of these things were happening, and she became very upset with us, basically shooing us out of her home and said that we should have never played with the spirit of the glass, and warned us that evil would be damn near impossible to get rid of. Anyway, thanks for letting me share my story, or as I say, letting me vent. I enjoy everything you guys are doing because many of the things that you say on air, especially in regards to dealing with dark entities, is a learning lesson for me. Thank you.
This sounds like another unfortunate Ouija board story.
Ouija Awareness Month right there, kids.
Yeah.
Hashtag Ouija Awareness. But no, I mean, that sounds like, you know, a horrible, horrible situation to have to go through with your family. And it's one of those things where he's connecting the dots and he's saying, you know, I think this has to do with, you know, what we experienced.
Yeah.
That it is something demonic. And when you have these sort of things going on, I don't think it's always super easy to connect those dots.
No. And, you know, everything may have been fine up until the point they used the, you know, I know it wasn't truly a Ouija board. They made it. But they could have been, that was the invite for whatever was already there to start, you know, making itself known.
Sure. Well, you know, and you say it wasn't truly a Ouija board. I mean, it was. It doesn't have to be Parker Brothers or Milton Bradley to be a Ouija board. It can be anything that you make for communicating like that. You know, can be the Ouija board. It's just these other folks are feeling the suppression and these things are going on, they're just thinking it's them. They're thinking, or, you know, or it's just this, it's just that. But when you connect all the dots and you see what's going on there, you realize, oh, there's something that's influencing this whole house. And it seems to be very much connected to that. So, I mean, thank you for sharing that. I don't know. I mean, I'm glad that whatever you're picking up through the show is helpful. It's just with situations like this, there is no clear answer to here's how you deal with it.
No.
Here's how you rid this out of your house. You know, as much as we'd like to have Demon Away come in an 8-ounce spray bottle that we can sell on our website, it doesn't exist.
No.
But in 2021, it may.
No.
Demon Away. And we'll have lemon scent, forest, and musk.
Yeah, right.
The musk, we're still kind of working on configuring the properties of the smell. Mm-hmm. Right now, it kind of more smells like a rancid possum. Mm. But we're going to get to musk.
Okay.
Eventually. What exactly is musk?
I don't know.
You know, you hear about the. So you used to see, like, when, like, on men's products years ago, there was, like, you know, 3 cents, and, like, musk was one of them.
And I don't associate that as a good smell. When something smells musky, that's gross.
To me, it's like, that means you should go shower. Mm-hmm. It's like, let me put on this deodorant. It smells like a man. I smelled completely neutral. Now I smell like I've been working hard. Yeah. Musk. Yeah, there you go. That's going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, become an extra podcast person at EPP. Go to ghostpodcast.com to do that, or patreon.com/realghoststories and help keep us on the air. Get all the bonus material there for you. Brand new stuff every single week. You will love it. Until next time, for Jenny, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.